Hello and welcome to the Motion Racing Podcast. Yes, it's been a while. I'm Sasha and there will be a Motion E podcast coming up soon. There'll also be an episode about historic stuff, which I recorded some time ago. But this time I'm talking about something I'm very excited about because I am doing some stuff for charity, and as are the luminaries of Prismatic Motorsports. Motion Racing's on the side of their cars, and I'm very, very happy to support them because they are the first and only sim team for the specifically for the trans community. So Jamie, Jess, Martin and Georgie Sands from Prismatic Motorsports are here to talk to me about the Race for the Cause 24, which is in aid of some charities that we'll talk about in a moment. But Jess, Georgie, welcome back.
Hello, lovely to be here.
Thank you. Yeah, great to be back.
So how has life at Prismatic Motorsport been recently? Have you taken any top scalps in the sim leagues?
Not at the moment, no. We've had to quite focus on sorting ourselves out internally and obviously utilize the some brand new owners coming in and working with us and kind of rebuilding and getting ourselves in a good place for this year, obviously Georgie being one of them.
Right.
Yeah, well, basically what Jess said there, I've stepped up from being just a driver and, well, I guess a community moderator for a while to being an owner now. So it's definitely a different kettle of fish, put it that way, being an owner to being a driver. You get very different concerns. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So are you stepping back from driving duties now, Georgie, or are you still getting involved there as well?
Oh no, I'm driving in the 24.
Yeah, of course, but yeah, and you're driving for the team from time to time, I imagine as well.
Oh yeah, we did the Sebring 12 recently as well. Me, Rachel, Bree, and Willow.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fantastic. We'll be hearing a lot more about Prismatic Motorsport and the work that they're doing, and of course, the results that they take in sim racing over the next few months. I hope, obviously, you know, good luck getting yourselves up and running under new ownership as well, and you know, the things that you do to give the trans community a foothold within motorsport, really, definitely something commendable and something I'd like to come back to in the future.
Of course. Well, ultimately, I do want to give credit because we're not the only ones. In fairness, we probably were the ones that kind of started the trend. There are a bunch of other teams out there that are very or much more trans inclusive. So obviously, you know, massive credit to them. They, you know, they do a ton in their own right.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for mentioning that and clarifying that. Okay, so I'm really excited because you're the first people to ever ask me to be a race commentator. I've done lots of podcasts and somehow my audience is not bored of my voice yet, but this is the first time that I've been asked to step behind the mic and do my best Murray Walker stroke Crofty. So thank you so much, and maybe let's begin rather than talking about me, because I can do that anytime. Let's talk about the Race for the Cause 24. So how did it come about, what is it, and why is it special?
Do you mind if I take this one, Georgie?
No, you go right ahead, Jeff.
So this the Race for a Cause 24 as a whole comes from a long bit of history that spans the entire bit of Prismatic, the entire history of Prismatic Motorsports. When we were initially formed, as a small team, as a group of people to try and race in a charity event organized by between us and a few other teams, a 24-hour race at Zolder, and we were going to raise money for the charity Mermaids. Now, to say that it was a complete disaster is probably an understatement. It completely fell apart. But, of course, off the back of that, we decided we still didn't want to just give up. So a small little GT3 league, which helped gain a lot of popularity for us, started up called the Mermaids GT3 Series. We did that for a couple of years. And then, of course, as we became more established and we started getting in more events, a lot of the charity work kind of took a kind of a step back. When, however, this year it came down to it, we realized how large of a platform we had, how many friends we had in the industry, how many additional people in the industry, and the fact that I think universally we felt it was time for us to once again contribute as a team towards a really positive cause for, you know, not just for trans people, but for LGBTQIA+ people. So the Race for a Cause 24 came out of something which I've been kind of hinting or suggesting for a while. I thought it potentially could be successful if we put in the effort. And earlier this year, the rest of the new ownership agreed that it was an idea that could work. And a couple of months later, we've gone 42 teams, over 100 and something odd drivers, about 130 odd drivers thereabouts, from all walks of life, from all perspectives, raising money for Rainbow Railroad, which is a international LGBTQIA+ charity. It's so important, I think, to as a team to have a positive social approach when it comes to doing good things for your community, giving back. And I think, honestly, this was a massive opportunity to do so. And because of that, we get to fund an awesome charity that is helping individuals from countries where it is illegal or they're at severe risk or danger for being who they are. You know, Rainbow Railroad are there to try and help them migrate, to immigrate to other countries, to claim asylum in countries which are safe for them, so they can continue to be themselves and be productive members of society while also not having to hide who they are due to the fear of harm. And so contributing to a charity like that is a massive deal. It's one of a number of charities we've supported over the years, and we are incredibly excited to be able to do this. And the fact that the Race for the Cause 24 has ended up being a massive success that stands out from at least a pre-race perspective, it's successful because we've raised well over $840 so far.
Oh, no, check it again.
Oh, you've donated as well.
Yeah. it's 9:15 now.
9:15. So we're almost at $1,000 for the charity raise, and we haven't even run a lap yet. Wow. So it's, yeah, you can say it's a massive, massive thing. But yeah, we're really, really impressed with the generosity of everyone contributing, everyone taking part, everyone that's donated their own money, donated their own time in some cases, like the commentators, like the race control staff, like, for example, others who have been helping us behind the scenes.
Yeah, it's very, very exciting. And just to drill into Rainbow Railroad for a bit more, because I've just finished reading the book The Underground Railroad by Colson Whitehead. It's a work of fantasy fiction, shall we say, but it's obviously based on the real life escapades of the people who made the Underground Railroad possible to get people to escape from American slavery. So I think the railroad analogy is something that probably most people are familiar with, and most people will you know, be open to. It certainly helps to explain the idea of it. But practically, if you've got someone in a country where it's illegal to be LGBT or to be trans, then how would Rainbow Railroad identify and then help those people to move to somewhere safer?
So from my understanding and from, you know, from speaking to people at Rainbow Railroad and looking at it, the idea is that they have an open reporting platform, which the idea is that you can reach out and you can ultimately request help. if you're in one of these countries. Rainbow Railroad will then take a look and endeavor to look at your circumstances, to look at the situation you're in, and look to see how you could feasibly and tangibly remove from this, move away from the country or emigrate from the country that you're in, if obviously they feel that you have support. So the idea is that they provide for five programs: cash assistance, partnership development, crisis response, information services and referrals, and complementary pathways. And the idea is that ultimately they want to try and help as many displaced people as possible. And in this case, it's a large number of people around the world. It's a large segment. It's a segment, but it's a still really significant segment of people that are displaced. For example, I think about 15,000 requests in 2023 alone from LGBTQIA+ people whose lives are in danger, and they'll try and offer programs to try and help them get to safety or try and find a way to be safe. Mm. And it's awesome to see a charity that's willing to do that, because I know I can be very critical, and I think I'm rightfully critical of of governments that of countries that we all live in, but I can say that there are places where it is so much worse and so much more dangerous, and I feel like they are the kinds of people, these people really do need help. And having an organization like this that contributes to stuff like helping those people stay safe is only better for everyone.
Absolutely, and I'm sure that everyone who enjoys the Race for the Cause will be happy to dip in for the for this charity as well. Thanks for explaining that. Now let's talk a bit about racing, because it's obviously not as important as the charity, but it's the thing that we're using to raise money, and it's so exciting to be part of a sim event and actually contributing something rather than just watching, from my point of view. So thanks very much for having me on the comms team along with my colleagues for the weekend. So what can a viewer expect to see? So in terms of the classes, in terms of the entrance, maybe let's start off with what are the classes of car that we've got racing at Le Mans this weekend?
I would say, Georgie, if you want to take this one.
Sure. So we have GTP, or as we have labeled it for the weekend because it's Le Mans, LMDH, mm-hmm. LMP2, and GT3. In the LMDH class, we have the Acura ARX 06, the Porsche 963, and the Cadillac V-Series R. The BMW is also in there, but I don't think anyone's running it.
Yes, there is someone running it.
Oh, there is someone running it. Beautiful. Yes. And then the BMW V Power.
It's the M-Hybrid, yeah.
It's the M-Hybrid. Okay, yeah. The Dallara P217 is the only LMP2 that we are running in the field.
Mm-hmm. It's the only one on the
and
service.
As far as GT3s, we have the Ferrari 296, the Porsche 911 GT3R, the Mercedes AMG GT3, the Audi RS LMS Evo 2, and there's even a team running a Ford GT.
Yes.
That'll be a nice flashback.
Yeah, it'll be a nice flashback. Not sure in terms of competitiveness, but hey.
Hey, the last race I did at Le Mans was in a Ford GT, and I came second and beat all the Ferraris, so that's all I cared about.
Fair enough.
But it's going to be nice to see the LMDHs in virtual rendered form. Obviously, the sort of quote-unquote European-style Le Mans hypercars are not there, but there's still a fairly good grid of LMDHs. I'm assuming that the WEC-only hypercars are not there because they're not on the service. Would that be right?
That is correct. Yeah, I believe that a fair assumption is that because the license for WEC is currently in the hands of Motorsport Games, who have made the Le Mans Ultimate game, it means that iRacing have not necessarily got any action. And because none of the hypercars have gone over to IMSA, which does have a working partnership with iRacing, it just means that there's no way that they can get the permission of one of those manufacturers. Could be possible, though, with the Aston Martin Valkyrie, maybe. But,
and the Lamborghini.
And the Lamborghini as well, being that the SC63 is joining, is in IMSA, or is coming to IMSA. I think joined IMSA is the right terminology. Mm. But yeah, there's definitely more on the... I can imagine there's more on the horizon coming out. But yeah, for now, it's just those four LMDH cars that are IMSA-based due to the working partnership between the service, between iRacing as a service and the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship.
Absolutely. I could have seen maybe a complete hipster or a complete weirdo or both, perhaps running an Isotta Fascini or a Glickenhaus from last season. But we have a good grid, so let's go to LMP2, because that's usually the most competitive class in virtual sports car racing, obviously, because all the chassis and engines are the same. So who can we look forward to racing the Dallara, and who's going to be the most competitive in your eyes in that class?
Honestly,
yeah,
I'm really sad I'm not racing LMP2. The grid looks great. There's so many good teams. I would say you want to watch out for United Autosport. United Sim Team. United Autosport's a completely different thing. United Sim Team you want to watch out for. Esmeralda van den Aald is on that team, and Sarah Dove, both drivers that have taken part in the Screen to Speed series that Jess commentates on. Also, the Pixel Car Racing team has my teammate Amy on the team, so I'm going to be rooting for those two. Not that I have any preference, being on the staff for the event, but I'm also racing, so I preference myself, of course. But yeah, the LMP2 grid looks fantastic for this race.
It looks fantastic. A couple of other names to mention as well that look fantastic. At least from personal experience, I've seen really good stuff, of course, from our lovely friends over at Taylor Mills Racing. A bunch of endurance nerds and prototype nerds over there. So they're usually very fast. So it'll be interesting to see how they do. You've got also Orlando Outlaws. Their black team black is pretty good as well. From what I've seen, I've seen a few of their drivers run, and they are pretty rapid in their own right. I think, of course, not only just for that, for the cars, but also the liveries. I mean, the LMP2 field look absolutely fantastic. Pixel Car has got a lovely livery. I know Positive Perception Esports has got a fantastic livery. So yeah, there's plenty of cars there, plenty of teams that could be competitive. But truth is that one thing that we're going to see is we're going to see the wet weather. So with wet weather, you're going to completely see the dynamic of these races change.
They'll be faster than us.
They'll be faster than the LMDHs in the wet weather. So there's a good chance that we're going to see a lot of chaos, possibly a lot of competitiveness where different drivers feel comfortable in different conditions.
There's not even a guarantee that a GTP is going to win, to be honest. It could be an LMP2, depending on how much rain there is.
Why will they be faster than the LMDHs in the rain?
In iRacing, the GTPs or the LMDHs are notoriously hard to drive in the wet. Because of the hybrid delivery system that they have, it makes it really hard to get on the throttle. Unlike the LMP2, which doesn't have that, it just grips a lot better, and it's a little bit easier to drive. So you find that, other than in the really, really top splits, the GTPs will still be faster, but only marginally. In pretty much every other split, the LMP2s will be a little bit faster than the GTPs.
And obviously the rain will be randomised, but roughly how much rain are we expecting this weekend?
I wouldn't be able to tell you.
That is a closely guarded trade secret.
Well, not only is it a closely guarded trade secret, neither of us know.
Exactly. That's how closely guarded it is.
The only person that knows is the race director, Roxy, who's one of the other owners of Prismatic Motorsports. She's the one that's essentially doing all of the rules and all of the she's the head steward of the entire thing. So she's the only one that knows the weather pattern or is planning to come up with a weather pattern as of today, because I think we identified a bug with the new weather system, which we reported, I think, sometime last week, and it was fixed very quietly in the patch that was released today for iRacing. So, so I can imagine Roxy's probably going to get on that one when she gets a chance.
Of course. It would be wrong to completely skirt over the potential best entrance in GTP or LMDH before we go to GT3. So let's talk about the LMDHs that are likely to be at the front and who might be driving them.
So I would say just a few names to probably mention outside of our own team, Prismatic Motorsports FINA, that will feature, of course, the likes of Georgie, Brie Widener, and Rachel Concoli, of course, former British F4 Esports Championship driver for ourselves. Other teams to look out for, probably the most obvious of them all, Doug Henson Racing, who are we're incredibly excited to see with their quote unquote clown car.
From
terminology, they have 10 drivers registered that are all going to be hopping in and out during the race from different levels. Of course, they've got a ton of really fast drivers in there. Probably one of the most notable, of course, is Twitch streamer Stephen J. Bailey. Who will be joining that team and contributing. They've got a bunch of side bets they're doing as well to donate a little bit, get a little bit of money donated also. So they're probably going to be very fast, and they're also probably going to be very going to be pretty rapid. I guess other names to mention outside of Doug Henson Racing, I would probably say so many good entries. That's the thing.
It's a TMR.
Taylor Mills Racing again.
They're going to be good in both classes.
I imagine that they're probably going to be very good in the LMDH class, considering their lineage goes all the way back to the old LMP, the old hybrid cars, the LMP1s. Yeah, that's it. Brain had an absolute aneurysm there. Went back to the LMP1s. You can imagine that they're pretty used to the hybrid systems at this point, so keep an eye on them. But we've got a ton of other teams that look fantastic. I mean, Team Ground Effects have a nice looking car, as well as they seem to be pretty rapid as well. So there's a bunch of other teams. There's probably a number of teams I haven't really shouted out, but once again, from all the liveries I've seen as well, it's going to be a fantastic looking field.
I will say that BMW M Plower have a Daytona winner on their roster. Chloe Lord won the GT3 split of the Daytona 24 that me and Rachel raced in.
To clarify, we mean on iRacing.
Yes, of course.
I was about to say caught off guard there.
You can claim you really race at Daytona. I don't think anyone who listens to this will complain.
Like Jimmy Broadbent says, the cars might not be real, but the racing is.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. Jimmy Broadbent, who was a frenemy of Antonio Felix da Costa for a while when they were sim racing during the pandemic. By the way, those epic Jimmy versus Antonio battles on sims back when the race used to broadcast sim races every weekend. I think that was when I really got into watching sim racing, along with a lot of other people who were sort of frustrated IRL motorsport fans at that time. But how long have you two been involved with sim racing for? And I would imagine it predates your time with Prismatic, doesn't it?
I mean, ultimately, in my case, it kind of loops in with the beginning of Prismatic. I would probably say my first kind of ex- exposure to sim racing was very much around 2020 during the pandemic. And then within 2021, I started to take it seriously in the sense that I kind of became like a figurehead of a bunch of people when I kind of reached out to people on Reddit, and suddenly a small little community had built and everyone kind of had circled around me, and I was like, oh, cool. And then it kind of became a thing. Prismatic became a thing. And yeah, but I've been around for a good couple of years now, so I've seen the landscape change quite a bit. Not sure about Georgie.
For me, I got into sim racing at pretty much the same time. I would say 2020, maybe December 2020. Before that, I'd been really big into the Formula One games for maybe the last 10 years, but I never really competed in them. I would just set times on the time trial board that were admittedly quite good. The best I ever managed was, I think, in 2012, I was third in the world for Barcelona in the, not Barcelona, sorry, Brazil in the wet. And I loved that statistic. But I mean, there was only 27 other times on the leaderboard, so it wasn't as big an achievement as it seemed.
Still decent.
I got my first wheel and pedal set in December 2020, and that's also when I joined iRacing. And maybe only a month or two later, Prismatic reached out to me on Twitter to get me into the community. I wasn't driving for Prismatic at the time. I was driving for a team called THLF Esports. And it took me maybe about a year to get myself onto the Prismatic roster. We raced in a series called FTR. It was an endurance series. That's pretty much all I've ever done, though, just endurance races. But now we're looking at the 24. It's a nice position to be in, to have seen the team grow this much over the time that I've been here, because it feels like I've been there since the start as well.
And it would be well worth, I think, looking at the GT3 field a little bit as well, because I was looking through the liveries of some of those cars, and there is a Mercedes decked out like one of the original Jurassic Park Land Rovers from the movie. So I think my response to that was, your livery designers spent so long working out if they could, they didn't think if they should. But it looks to be honest, it looks excellent. So tell us about that. Tell us about some of the other entrants that you're looking forward to seeing.
Well, I mean, that's Jurassic Racing, number 117. They are a relatively small team. I think it's just a bunch of folks that just want to do something fun and race something fun. In terms of notable storylines, I guess, within the GT3 field, because really, I can honestly say that so many of these teams are going to be a massive, massive question mark in terms of on the day, the pace of a lot of these drivers. I've kind of seen some of their iRating stats. They're pretty decent. I'm really excited to see how they all take to a 24-hour event of this kind. For me, names to look out for outside of our own team, Prismatic Motorsports Minerva, featuring former British F4 esports championship driver Sisha Fitzpatrick, who raced alongside Rachel last year in the championship, and Garnet Adams, who is and also Sisha Fitzpatrick is the winner of the Screen Speed Las Vegas event last year. On top of that, you have Garnet Adams, a consistent representative that's raced in so many different events, started streaming quite a bit. And there's a little bit of a storyline there as well, with the fact that with Garnet, you're going to have a real-life driver swap rather than an in-sim driver swap, as Garnet and her lovely wife, Adelaide, will be together, and they'll be switching between. Adelaide has actually never really sim raced heavily before and essentially has been building up as a challenge with the tutelage of Saoirse and Garnet on how to race and how to race a sim racing event, let alone a massive endurance race. So that's going to be exciting to watch. Other teams to watch out for, Onid Racing. They, of course, is an organization. I love what Onid stands for. Oh no, I died. In terms of Onid, run by an absolutely incredible crew. other folks over there. Ben Brown, the most notable individual there, absolutely fantastic. And a few others, like some of our partners in terms of legacy sponsors, like of course Dan and Cammy, who represent Kodak Computers and Go for the Gap. But on top of that, you know, they're incredibly fast. I've seen them in the flesh. I've seen them race in endurance races before. They can very, very, very easily mop the floor with people. They are absolutely fantastic. So it'll be interesting to see how they run. Racing Lab Esports, another team as well, in the number 42 in the Ferrari. They look pretty good. If the livery is anywhere as good as the drivers, then, which I imagine it is, they're going to be very fast, the Norwegian team there. But I mean, in all honesty with you, I look at the lineup, I look at that, and also, of course, we mentioned it earlier, the Ford of Lilac Zier and Chastity Ford as of today. So a two driver effort that we already made that joke. We're really appreciative to have Chastity, that all jokes aside. But no, of course, they're going to be running under the gimmick of Ford Go, Ford Go. So that would be very exciting. But yeah, there's a ton of teams. I mean, 42 in all, that I'm just really excited to see what they can do.
We love to see it, to be honest, the Ford. One team I want to highlight is a team that I believe are here for the meme as well as for the race. That's the number 69 car, Locked In Racing. Nice. From the United States. They have a monkey on the side of the car. The livery looks pretty decent other than the giant monkey on the side of the car. So that'll be an interesting one to watch out for on the broadcast for you, Sasha.
Think the only thing I've ever seen on a sim racing car that was that's looked more iconic than that monkey is probably the gender bent version of Jimmy Broadbent we put on the on one of our cars the one year we did his Zolder 23. I think that was that's probably close there.
The Race for Cause 24 takes place this weekend. Let's talk about how one can watch it, but also let's talk about how we can donate to Rainbow Railroad before we watch it as well.
Of course. I guess I'll start off with where you can watch it. So you can watch it on the Prismatic Motorsports Twitch. Of course, that is at Prismatic Motorsports on Twitch. We'll be broadcasting the entire event there. That's where all of our primary commentators are going to be, including the likes of course, Sasha, myself. Taylor Mills will be hopping in at one point, as well as some incredible talents from esports, which we're really lucky to have. Of course, David Christie, who recently did the commentary for a bunch of events for Williams Esports, specifically for the Sebring 12. And of course, Connery Maddock, who is one of the wonderful faces behind Race Spot, and is an awesome commentator that's been involved with so many different racing series. So all five of those people are going to be hopping in and out of the booth. Hopefully we're going to have a few other people hop in at points and talk about what's going on, get a little bit of information. But yeah, the idea will be you can watch live on Twitch. There'll be others that probably will be sharing their perspective as well. So we're really excited to see you all there. And also, the more of you we get, the more likely it's going to be on the homepage of Twitch for iRacing. And if so, the more likely we're going to do some positive things for the community. UK time, so British summer time, BST, so GMT plus one. You are looking at, so the pre-stream will start at 12 o'clock. You'll start getting coverage from 12:15, and the qualifying will start at 12:30, with the race starting at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
I was actually thinking about all of the very basic sides of 24-hour race commentary. Obviously, no one's going to be on comms 24 hours unless they have a really, really good voice that keeps going. But I was asking questions of these folks, like, what happens if you need to go for a toilet break? And I was assured that your co-coms will step in for that time. But, you know, these are things that I'm sure proper race commentators have thought about before. I'll also try and get a, you know, John Motson-esque wall of notes going for the weekend. But looking at the entry list at the moment and trying to work out what to watch for. It's just really, really exciting to be doing this. And I'm now working out all the important things, like, for example, whether my nickname is Martha Haven or Joan Hindoff. But that aside, and joking apart, I do want to say thank you so much again for inviting me to do this. And I hope that we get a really good audience for the weekend. Hopefully all the followers of this podcast will tune in on Twitch as well. Prismatic Motorsports this weekend. So Jamie Jess Martin and Georgie Sands from Prismatic Motorsports, thank you very much. And stay tuned for more Motion Racing podcasts very soon. We'll be right back.